This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Friday. Are you glad it's Friday? I'm glad it's Friday. And it is also Lincoln's birthday. Let's not think that our great presidents that they're trying to erase were born all on a Monday, no matter what day it is. No, today is Lincoln's birthday, February 12th. And this is show number 181 of Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. That's me. And, you know, I'm overwhelmed not only with what I don't want to watch or talk about, but what I do. So I've had a theme all week, which is my old motto, if you can't say no, your yes means nothing. If the left is putting on a dog and pony show that is completely vindictive, petty, desperate, weak, and foolish, I'm certainly not obligated to watch whether I am a conservative talk show host or not. And I would love to know if you have been watching. Maybe you can tell the rest of us what's been going on. But I could pretty much predict without watching it. It's just as insane as the Kavanaugh hearings. It's got all the same players as the Kavanaugh hearings and all the other hearings that were used to try and delegitimize a, a duly elected president. And now that there is an unduly elected president, they're trying to still delegitimize the previous one. It's so ridiculous that I honestly can't watch it, and I think that it insults our intelligence to bother. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be aware of how broke. These leftists are and have been. They've been doing it all along, ever since Trump came on the scene. Why is he such a threat? Well, he's a threat because he can't be bought, he can't be bribed, he can't be blackmailed, and he has exposed, he did exactly what they were afraid he would do, which is he exposed a lot of their secrets while he was in office. Now, all of a sudden, they're attempting to put the cat back into the bag, the toothpaste back in the tube, and it doesn't work so well. Years ago, I gave my father this wonderful, may he rest in peace, a candlestick, a single candlestick with one of those rings on it. It was silver, and I had it engraved. Longer story than I have time to go into, but he was a kind of a searcher, my dad. He liked to examine things and ask questions, which of course I get that from my dad and my Jewish heritage, I think. And it said, once you have had enlightenment, you can never go back into the dark. And that is pretty much what the left is trying to do, is to pull the wool over the eyes of the public who have seen just how corrupt and disingenuous, dishonest and petty. Gosh, there's so many great adjectives, and I run out, that they are. I mean, why is it that they aren't concerned what the public thinks of them, that they're going after a private citizen and impeaching him? Which, how do you impeach someone out of office, throw them out of office when they're already out of office? Can you imagine what they would have done if the Republicans, the weak-willed, weak-kneed, mealy-mouthed Republicans, whom are just as corrupt as the left in the deep state, if they had tried to impeach Barack Obama after he left office, they wouldn't have thought of it. Anybody who would dare to even mention it would have been laughed right out of Washington, D.C. We can't do that, not only because he's half black and we don't like his white half either, but because it is unseemly. It makes us look petty and foolish and stupid and desperate. No, but the Democrats don't mind doing that. Why? Because they've already taken away our precious right to vote. Whether people know it or not, our precious right to vote is deeply, largely in question. And there are an awful lot of people who saw the evidence when the hearings were shown, but nobody in Washington, including the Supreme Court, were interested in the evidence and they weren't interested in the facts. In fact, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was overheard saying, well, we can't do that. There will be riots in the streets. Is this what our highest court in the land is about? Certainly our Chief Justice, who many people suspect is corrupt, bribed, blackmailed. Am I allowed to say it? Am I allowed to say that? You damn well better believe I have a right to say it, because this is America, where I have a right to keep clearing my throat every 5 seconds. Forgive me for that. I've got morning crud, I think. But I'll get rid of it. My apologies to you. So many people suspect that he's corrupt, because how could he have decided, and I digress, and I'm going to, how could he have decided that something that was argued and pushed through and pushed down our throats like Obamacare was a tax, when even they, the people who were pushing it down our throats, were doing so by saying, it's not a tax, it's not a tax, it's not a tax. But without even being asked, Chief Justice, what a disgrace, John Roberts said, oh, it's a tax, it's okay. Think that's corrupt? Think that maybe he's answering to a different authority than the Constitution? I think so. So that's what we're up against here. And I, as I said, feel no obligation, responsibility, or anything else to watch this drivel, because it's the same drivel from the first impeachment hearing. It's the same drivel of twisting reality, twisting the most basic facts and calling it something else. Now, the holiday of Purim is coming up, and I don't have time to tell the story of Purim, but it is the Book of Esther that we read every year at Purim. Now, I am not the most religious and certainly not the most knowledgeable Jew in the world, but when I was a kid, Purim only meant to dress up in costumes, a little like Jewish Halloween, go to a carnival, and throw ping pong balls into a big bowl with goldfish. And if your ping pong ball landed in the little goldfish bowl, and they were all lined up against each other, but you could still get the ping pong ball in the corners where it wasn't in the bowl itself. But if you were fortunate enough and it bounced in the bowl with a goldfish, you got a goldfish to take home. And that fish usually lived less than 24 hours, and he was floating on the top of the bowl. But it was always exciting to see if I or any of us kids could win a goldfish at a Purim carnival. That's all I knew from Purim. I knew the basic story. There were good guys, there were bad guys, and the typical Jewish story, which is, it's either feast or famine in Jewish history, and most holidays are, they tried to kill us, they failed, let's eat. And that's pretty much the story of Purim, but there's a lot more to it that I've learned in recent years that is incredibly apropos for politics today, which is we're being asked to live in a false reality, in a false world. We're being asked to accept and believe things that our greatest and most basic common sense tell us are simply not true. Simply not true. We're being asked to hate people they want us to hate, give a pass to people that we can clearly see are mentally decline to the point where he's not the same guy. We're talking, of course, about Joe Biden, who's been in the public eye for 40 plus years, maybe 47 years now. He's been in the public eye, and yet we're being asked to believe that he's smarter than Donald Trump. He's more competent than Donald Trump, and he's hitting the ground running. He's just so great. And the pictures, do you watch the pictures that they show of him looking competent? It's all a fantasy. You know, we used to think that the Matrix movie, that's a very, very relevant movie today because it's a complete false reality that they're trying to push down our throats. It's endemic of, here's another example. Right now, we're going through a huge polar blast all across the country. There's freezing rain in Dallas right now this weekend. In northern Colorado, where I'm based, we're well below zero. We're going to be well below zero over the weekend into dangerous cold weather. And yet, we're being told that global warming, you know, because they tried to call it climate change because it was so ridiculous, so preposterous, that a degree or a quarter of a percent or a quarter of a degree is going to be something we're terrified of. But human evil, which is something I'm pretty scared of, is the depths and the lengths that human beings can go to be evil and to do evil on their fellow man. And I reiterate, I'm not very much of a religious person, but if you can't see evil today, and I don't care what your religious background is, you ain't looking. There are people who are claiming under the guise of, oh, we're more compassionate, we're more caring than the next guy, instituting policies that not just harm America and harm every individual citizen, but rob us all of our God-given rights to liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't guarantee you happiness, but it guarantees that our rights don't come from other men. They come from God. And I know that I repeat that often, but that's because a lot of people were never taught this in school. They've been de-educated and then brainwashed. You know, they leave out, just like CNN, leaves out the most important information, but then they fill your head with lies. If you're one of those people, and I kind of doubt you are, that only watches CNN. So getting back to global warming, practically the whole country is in a deep freeze. Lincoln's birthday, February 12th. And yet we're being told that we have to completely upend our economy. We have to bite the bullet. we're going to get the bullet by doing as they tell us to do and institute world socialism, world communism because of global warming. Hold them to their agenda. Hold them to what they say. Does this look like global warming to you? Below zero temperatures? In fact, when it's a little bit warmer, people eat better because more food grows when it's warmer. It is the cold Arctic winters that kill things. We know this. Again, another thing I'm not good at. I'm not a great scientist either, so I can't talk from a scientific perspective particularly, but then most people cannot. But they can look outside and look, this doesn't look like global warming. And yet we are told you are stupid if you don't listen to us and our reality. This is just an entire different reality and you better get with the program. That is a symbol right there of the kind of world we're living in where you can't, you're told not to trust your lying eyes. So you're being told, for example, because truth was died a long time ago in Washington, D.C., that Donald Trump is the greatest threat to this country, but the Democrats who stood by and watched rioting in the streets, and they did incite it, and then they told police to stand down while cities burned, they're not dangerous? really? They're trying to institute socialism slash communism writ large in this country and across the free world, and they're not the dangerous ones? They continue to accuse anyone who dares to disagree with them as doing exactly what they do. And yet we're the bad guys for disagreeing. We're the bad guys for saying, no, I'm not going to watch your stupid dog and pony show. I'm just not going to do it. And guess what? You can't make me. I love what the young people say. They say, you're not the boss of me. Well, they're not the boss of you. They were elected to serve you. And the only time they will become the boss of you is if you allow them to. Yes, we're being bullied, intimidated, and coerced to do a lot of things we know make no sense. But we must have the courage to stand up. I didn't tell you much about Purim. I think we're getting ready to take a break. I'm not real sure. But I didn't tell you much about Purim. But Purim is very much about things not appearing as they really are. Or rather, that reality is not what you think it is. There's a whole nother reality. And that is why when Jews celebrate Purim every year, they do dress up in costumes. And it's a very interesting. I think what the main image of Purim, which seems so perfect for politics today, is that up is down, right is left, in is out. Nothing is as it appears to be, right? I hope that we are still on air. Are we still on air? Do I have our producer? Because I'm yammering on. And, oh, good, because I can't seem to type my message to my producer. Somehow my message is not coming through. There it is. I think we're going to take a break now, and we'll get our little technical difficulties all worked out. But when we come back, I'm going to just wrap this up, and then we'll probably check in with the illustrious Doug, my producer, to see whether he agrees or disagrees with me that, number one, we're not obligated to watch a stupid impeachment trial of a private citizen, because if they can impeach a private citizen for an office he doesn't hold anymore, then they can impeach you and me for an office we don't hold anymore either. Think about that. We're going to take a break right now. Karen Kettleen, happily and proudly hosting Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Kettleen, and it is Lincoln's birthday today. Don't let anybody tell you that Lincoln's birthday is Monday. No, it's the 12th. And if you are listening in the podcast, you might hear it all weekend long on K-Star Radio Network. And we thank we're very grateful for our partnership with K-Star Radio Network. And they are now covering our Nashua, New Hampshire shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that is really great. We're very grateful, and we're expanding. So anyway, let's go back and kind of wrap up this story of Purim, because I probably left you hanging, a little bit of a cliffhanger there. So if you care to, and by the way, Purim takes place this month on the evening of February 25th and the 26th. And that is always the case of Jewish holidays. They start in the lunar calendar in the evening after sundown. And that's usually when we read the story of Esther. So all you got to do is open up that old Bible and read the story of Esther. But there are many little symbols of Purim that I have come to really appreciate as an adult and not, you know, as a kid looking for a goldfish. And that is that Purim is the story of the tables being turned, or the bad guy being hoisted by his own petard. Haman, the bad guy, builds a gallows for Mordecai, Esther's cousin, I think he is. And he ends up being hung on the gallows that he made. And that is just such a common and very historic story, I guess, for bad guys who are trying to stick it to innocent people and end up getting hung on a gallows of their own making. Now, that hasn't happened with the left that are guilty of the very crimes they run around pointing the finger at everyone else for. Because why? Well, partly they're trying to turn criminals into victims and law-abiding citizens into criminals. If you really want to dismantle America, the rule of law, and peace and prosperity in the greatest country that was ever created, what you want to do is bastardize and turn upside down the rule of law. You want to stick it to law-abiding citizens for the dumbest things, for the pettiest things, like they do in third world countries, while allowing criminals to roam free, including opening up our borders and not caring whether you're letting in murderers and gangs in order to kill and terrorize innocent people. Then what you do is you take away the innocent people's rights to defend themselves, because if there are crimes committed, it must be their fault. Can't be the fault of the people who actually committed the crime. No, it has to be the fault of the people who own guns to defend themselves. So pretty much everything, if you didn't think that the left hates America and wants to dismantle our country as it was founded, everything they do and everything that they are for certainly indicates that that's their plan. And we must stop being shy about saying so. There is no rational explanation for why the left continues to be for open borders when it's dangerous, takes away jobs from law-abiding citizens so they'll be dependent on the government, sends money to our enemies like Iran. That doesn't help America. And yet they're going to keep preening and telling you that we are just more erudite than you are, and you just can't control yourself, and you need government to help you, to coerce you, to bully you, to tell you what to do. It's all a giant lie. We can hope and pray this Purim, this time, Purim, that the bad guys will be hoisted by their own petard and hung on a gallows of their own making. So far, it hasn't happened, unfortunately. And what is a good thing to do to pray? I sound awfully religious today, and I'm really not all that much, but, you know, there is wisdom in these old books. Is what we can hope and pray is that justice will be served, and that bad guys, those who have lied, cheated, stolen, taken bribes, taken blackmail, are lying to the very people who supported them, were voted into power, and then usurped the power of the people that voted for them. How about that? How about this? claiming that you are a champion of minorities and people of color while you destroy the cities and the urban environments they live in. That's pretty evil. It is. And how about this? For your own power and in order to overtake and coerce Americans into handing over their liberty, you steal and take away their votes. And then you have to go to them to ask them who are in power to hear the evidence of the voter fraud that they support. And what do you know? They say, you know what? There's no evidence there. We're not going to hear your case. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that every single one of them who refused to hear the case, be it in the judiciary system or elsewhere, are directly guilty for the voter fraud. But did they know about it? Do they benefit from the outcome? Did they have a vested interest in putting corrupt Democrats and their socialist communist minions in power? You better believe they did. So, at least in the Purim story, Jews do prevail. Just like they tried to kill us, they failed. Let's eat. We're still waiting for the bad guys to fail. And we hope and pray that Purim will out this year or soon, that bad guys who have lied, cheated, stolen, blackmailed, and bribed, or taken blackmail and bribe, whatever, they always start with B's, don't they? Bullying, blackmail, bribery. They will be exposed and held accountable, because if they're not held accountable, they just keep on doing it. Is that true of petty crime? Well, it's the same true of felonies. It's the same true of obstruction of justice, of high crimes and misdemeanors. The previous president, not only was he not guilty of any high crimes and misdemeanors, and they have to stretch your credulity into saying so, but he surely is not guilty of this last thing. I mean, it is a total railroad. And look at the people. Look at the people who buy into it because they've been whipped into a frenzy. Anyway, what we're going to do when we get back from this break, we are going to prepare for Steve Turley, who is going to talk. I think he has been watching this impeachment trial, and he says that the impeachment trial has done nothing but strengthen Donald Trump and made him more popular than ever. And I just love that. That's an example of being hoisted by their own petard. I mean, one could make a case that that's why they're going on this fool errand, which is to obliterate Donald Trump and the 74 plus million people. I think it's much more than that. 80 million plus who said, no, we are going to support Donald Trump. We don't care if you key our cars or whatever else you do. We're standing up for the guy who stands up for America. And that apparently is his greatest crime. He stood up for America. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Steve Turley to talk about this and so much more. Stay tuned. There's lots more to come on Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline. We'll be right back.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website, at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Yes, indeedy, it's Karen Cataline. Thank you for staying with us. And just for the record, spouting off is a good thing. You know, it's gotten a very bad reputation. But of course, as we've been talking about, nothing is ever as it seems, especially today. The reason spouting off is a good thing, at least it is around here, is because it kind of the underlying meaning, we hope anyway, is that you're saying what you really think and you're not censoring yourself. So don't censor yourself. Don't allow these bullies in the media and in the deep state to tell you you're not allowed to speak. Now, yeah, is there a price to pay for exercising your rights to free expression? You better believe it. But there's so much bigger price for not exercising them. So, we are going to shove right along here, shove off, and we have our guest here, and I'm so delighted that he has made the time to join us. His name is Dr. Steve Turley. He has a PhD from Durham University, and he has published more than 20 books. Took me 15 years to write one. He's an American conservative commentator and YouTuber who mentions the rise of the new right. And there are frequent uploads, which are three videos a day that he does. And he wrote a terrific piece we're going to talk about. Welcome, Steve Turley, to Spouting Off. You're with Karen Cataline.
Oh, thanks, Karen. It's great. I love to spout off myself. Yes, a few videos a day to spout off and make the left go crazy. Yeah, that which is very easy to do.
They don't have far to go either. So you had this terrific piece called Media is Shocked as Second Impeachment Trial Making Trump Even Stronger. Well, that's good news, because I've been talking about how we hope, like Purim, which is coming up at the end of the month, that they will be hoisted by their own petard. So tell us, Steve Turley, how that's possible. Give us a little tease about this article and how it is that it's making Trump stronger. We hope so.
Yeah. Well, one of the political dynamics has been going on now for a couple of decades. We certainly saw it with the Tea Party back in 2010. But scholars are noticing it all over the world, is that there's a growing animus, not so much between Republicans versus Democrats, per se, or liberals versus conservatives. It's not so much ideological. It's a growing animus, a growing hostility and animosity between the people versus the political class. That's really what's going on today. If you want to understand why we had Trump in the first place in 2016, just ask yourself, why did you have Brexit just a few months earlier than that, right? In Britain in June of 2016, same dynamics. What scholars have noticed is that the permanent political class and the values and the concerns and the interests by which they govern their affairs is growing increasingly alienated and away from the sentiments, the concerns, and the values of the people. So much so that when they speak, our politicians open their mouths, it's like they don't even make sense anymore to the vast majority of the people. They're talking different language. And this whole kabuki theater of impeachment is a perfect example. The vast majority the American people know. Every Rasmussen in particular, his polls have shown the vast majority think this is a waste of time. They know he's not going to be convicted. It's a waste of money. They're not watching it. Even CNN, Brian Stelter, had to admit the other day that nobody is tuning into this. And more and more leaders are now, like Ted Cruz today, coming out and saying there's no way Trump is even going to remotely get convicted. This was all a waste of time. This is the political class governing according to their own values, interests, and concerns, which are increasingly alienated from the values, interests, concerns of the people, which President Trump embodied. Even if you didn't vote Yeah, even if you didn't vote for him. It's so interesting. We found, for example, African Americans have one of the highest support levels for border security. They want the borders, you know, locked up, as it were, and secured. And why? Because, well, illegal immigration has really hurt entry-level job position, particularly in urban areas.
Sure. Oh,
so
yeah.
We're finding that most Americans really do believe in America First, you know, MAGA-based, both domestic and foreign policy. And President Trump embodies this notion of the politics of the people, basically invading and overriding the politics of the political class. And the more we see the politics of the political class being pushed down our throats, the stronger Trump becomes.
That is such a great analysis. And what a lot of people don't do is kind of work backwards from the conclusion, which is to say that what they really went after in Trump was the notion of borders, language, culture, boundaries, the Constitution, America First. That's what they really find threatening, because it's contrary to everything they're trying to push down our throats, just like you said. You cannot have socialism and communism if people have individual freedom. You just can't do it. And that seems to be clearer today than ever before. I know what I was going to ask you, and this is something I've been asking a lot of people that I interview, because this is just speculation and conjecture, because nobody really has an answer. So let's be creative here and speculate. It isn't just being misguided tyrants that the left is doing this stupid impeachment, which only makes them look petty, desperate, weak, and foolish, but they don't seem to care. But what do you think is the real reason, or among the real reasons, that they're even doing this misguided idiocy? Why are they? They've got a monopoly of power, the trifecta of power in Washington, D.C., and they're doing this? Why?
Oh, that's a great question, Karen. I think I got a little insight for you, and I appreciate the way. I like how you set it up, because I think you set it up really responsibly. Of course, we don't know, like, you know, what's going on in their inner cranium or anything like that. But I think we could take a very interesting guess here. Mm-hmm. In the sociological literature, there is actually a concept known as resentment politics. It's a really interesting field of study, resentment politics. So we all know what resentment is. We just look at your woke warriors, and that's, you know, that's, they're the embodiment of resentment.
They live in resentment, yes.
They do. It's right. Mm-hmm. It's just this horrid indignation against, you know, supposedly being treated unfairly and all that sort of stuff. What's so interesting is scholars have noticed resentment has a built-in us versus them framework to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the political class has always been worried about resentment. They knew it was a dangerous emotion that could lead to rebellion. And you see this going all the way back to the political leaders of classical Athens and Rome and all of that. And what was fascinating is they resolved that fear of the people rising up against the political class generally by appealing to threats on the outside. So, you know, we Romans need to be worried about, you know, Hannibal and the Carthaginians. You know, we look to the outside, and then that creates an internal solidarity between the people and the political class. What scholars have noticed is that since the 1960s, that unity of that internal unity bred by external threats, that got sacrificed by more and more politicians and activists identifying an enemy from within, an internal enemy. And that in effect, repurposed resentment, and it transformed it into a tool for dividing the populace, dividing the people, and thus sequestering the political class from this very dangerous emotion of resentment. So as long as we resent each other, Karen, we're not going to resent the political class. That's the idea.
What made Trump so dangerous? Yes.
Is he came in and he turned the resentment back on the political class. And it didn't matter. Right. It didn't matter if you were Republican. It didn't matter if you were a Democrat. If you were a politician, you were stupid. Remember 2016, these stupid politicians. They open up our borders. They ship our jobs overseas. They, you know, they spit on our culture, our customs and tradition, and we're going to put, we the people are going to put an end to that. And so I think what you got here is both Democrats and Republicans. I know there's not many, thank God, but you're 10 in the House of Representatives, you're 6 in the Senate. They're all coming together to try to, how do you put it, sort of reframe or reboot that resentment back between us. We're supposed to be resenting each other, and who better than getting half the country to resent the 74 million MAGA people who voted for Trump. I honestly believe that's what's going on. And again, I don't think in the end it's going to work. The populist genie's out of the bottle. Republicans and Democrats are coming together, and they're saying this political class is out of control and they need to be stopped. So I think 2016 was just the beginning.
Oh, boy, that is not only the best explanation I've heard, but it's even a little bit optimistic for once, which isn't there has been precious little optimism to go around these days. But to hear you talk, Steve, it also, not that you need to know this, but my heritage is Jewish, and I and my religion, and, you know, born and raised, what have you. And it sounds, it's so dangerous, cynical, and just frightening to make scapegoats out of a certain collective population, which is exactly what was done. What you describe is how Nazism came into being in the late 30s. You know, supposedly we're not allowed to make Holocaust comparisons, but in fact, if you see what's going on and the propaganda that is being pushed and the alternate reality, you can see how something like that can happen with whatever agenda the tyrant has. Whatever the agenda is, they can make way for it if they use these psyops that are being used now. So the enemy from within was the Jewish person in Germany. And they're using a lot of the same things. What about the Reichstag fire of January 6th when they were rioting and inciting rioting all summer long in full public view of everyone?
Right,
and yet now
right.
they turn right around and they say Donald Trump, who said march patriotically and peacefully to the people's house? Really?
Yeah, danged if you do, danged if you don't, right? Heads I win, tails I lose. We've all seen that before. Yeah, I think we're beginning to recognize big time that political correctness goes way beyond just some kind of speech code.
Yeah.
Political correctness it involves two things. It involves the attempt to get people to conform, and then it also involves the ability to cast out.
Hold that thought, because I've got 30 seconds to the next break. You've graciously agreed to stay with us while we take this quick break. We're with Dr. Steve Turley. Wonderful discussion about the psychological aspects of what we're watching here. Very, very serious stuff, and we're still laughing. Karen Cataline. I am your host of Spouting Off. I do remember that. And we will take a break, and we'll be back with Dr. Steve Turley right after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. It's such a pleasure to talk to Dr. Steve Turley, eloquent author and eloquent speaker. He has a piece out right now at turleytalks.com called Media Shocked as Second Impeachment Trial Making Trump Even Stronger. We're going to pick up where we left off regarding political correctness when I so rudely had to interrupt you. Steve, go right ahead and keep going there.
Well, yeah, you were mentioning, of course, the Holocaust comparisons and so forth and how we're not allowed to use them anymore, except, of course, if you're on the left, then you can use it all you want. And it just reminds me of the fact that we have to recognize that, you know, political correctness is not so much a speech code. That's what we tend to think of it as. Political correctness is really, it's more of a protective mechanism. And that's, you're finding that in the scholarly literature as well. They recognize that political correctness involves two things. It involves getting people to conform to liberal opinion on all social matters. But then it also has a mechanism to cast out, to reject those who do not conform to liberal opinion on social matters. And so what we're finding is, in many ways, political correctness is kind of like a taboo code. That's the way anthropologists would consider it. So in order for a taboo code to work, it's helpful to think of a social order like an immune system. So if you're going to have a healthy social order, you have to have a kind of social immune system that identifies threats to that order, but then also effectively neutralizes those threats, right? What good is it if it could just identify the threat, but it can't do anything about it? That's what a taboo code does. And that's exactly how political correctness is functioning today. So what we saw with Gina Carano, for example, yesterday, mm-hmm. and the cancel culture in general, what we're seeing is nothing less than a mass excommunication of anyone, any idea, any behavior. I love this idea of the scapegoat, just being cast out, any institution, any sports name, any culture, any custom, any tradition that offends the new left. This is why offense is such a capital crime today in terms of its power to eliminate threats to a social order that's now been recalibrated around the offended, right? The marginalized, the disenfranchised, and the like.
Well,
this is why voter
IDs
are racist today.
Oh,
I mean, it makes no sense in our minds, but
it opens the way to, forgive me, but I'm just dying. I'm chomping at the bit here, and I apologize. It opens the way to thought crimes because you have to read somebody else's mind and censor yourself for fear of offending protected groups.
Absolutely.
It's terrifying. I might also add that I've ranted for almost a year now, and I shudder to think that it's been a year, but I knew it would be, about the masks. The masks are a giant psyop designed not only to create collectivism, obedience, and snitching on one's neighbor, but it also draws attention to people who dare to defy the social order. So it works the same way, does it not?
Oh yeah, no, you got it. As long as people see, in many respects, I think this is what made Trump such a significant figure. For the first time in our lifetimes, he was a Republican that really embodied a fundamentally different social order, right? He wanted closed borders. He wanted manufacturing jobs brought back home. He wanted energy independence. He wanted our cultures, customs, and traditions celebrated, even if that meant putting some limits on the economy or economic growth. And those all feed into each other, of course, because if you have open borders, well, you could kiss your culture goodbye, as well as a lot of your jobs, because entry-level job positions are no longer going to be available to somebody who needs to get paid $15 an hour when you found somebody who's going to be willing to do it for $2 under the table. So it all feeds into each other. Border security, economic security, cultural security, that's the politics of the world right now. I mean, you mentioned Israel, for example. I mean, in Israel right now as we speak, the left basically doesn't exist. The Labor Party is fascinating. So this is the party of Ehud Barak, Yitzhak Rabin. The Labor Party in the last election barely, I don't even think they broke 10% of the vote. They've died. They've withered up. There's now the Blue and White Party. That's the new center-left party there that's led by a general. I mean, it's much more right than left. In many respects, all over the world you look, the left has collapsed. It's dead. Nation after nation.
It's going,
nation after nation, population after population are going back to nation culture, custom, tradition as the way of life.
So.
And so this is the attempted reset, but I don't think it's going to work.
God, I hope you're right. But I am heartbroken when I hear, and I have a couple friends in Israel, and I don't understand Israel politics at all because I'm an American, that Benjamin Netanyahu, Mr. Conservative Israeli Prime Minister, is trying to make guinea pigs of the Jewish people and pretty much force and coerce them to take the vaccine. What does this sound like to you? To make guinea pigs of Jewish people is makes me heartsick. I don't know what they could be thinking. You know, you want to take a vaccine, whatever you want to do, voluntary is the way to go. The minute they start coercing, bullying, and intimidating, you know, I'm gone. I'm over it. And yet they're doing this. He's doing this. I mean, he wants to make the Jewish people some sort of example for the world for a vaccine that many, if I may say, Jewish doctors like Simone Gold and others are saying it is completely untested. It is ill-advised. She would never give it to her kid. None of that. And yet here we have this. I don't know. I don't know if you're like an expert. I'm certainly not on Israeli politics.
Right. No.
What the heck is going on there?
Yeah, I don't know on that one. What I would do, whenever something like that happens, I think your intuition is right. Keep your eye on the ultra-Orthodox parties because they're popping up a new one's popping up every election. And we have to remember that Haredi Jews are the ones that are having the children. So what scholars are noticing in who are demographic, right, demographic experts, if I recall, back in the 1960s, Haredi school children were only about 1 in 5 school children in Israel. Today, they are nearly half. Okay, we're 1 in 2 kids are Haredi Jewish and
meaning black hat Jews.
Oh, you got it. Very conservative. You know, the ultra Orthodox Jews we'd see in Bronx, who all, by the way, voted for Trump, 70% of which is a beautiful manifestation of this kind of new populism here.
It's a no-brainer.
Exactly. I think that's what you're going to see in Israel as well. You're going to see much, much more of the population moving in that direction.
I have to rush off and end the show. I got to have you back. What fun it is to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have to leave it there. TurleyTalks.com is how you can read more from Dr. Steve Turley. And thank you to BBS Radio. It's Friday. Party Friday, as my friends Chuck and Julie say. So go out and have fun, even if it's freezing out there. Thanks to Doug and everybody at BBS. And thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be, so much to spout off about Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday here on Spouting Off.